It was a Tuesday afternoon in Tehran, in the middle of Ramadan. My wife, Yegane, also a journalist, and I literally had our bags packed to leave for the United States. Her U.S. immigration papers had come through, and we had tickets for a flight that Friday night, with plans to travel to America and be away from work for a couple of months. I had noticed, walking around town, that contrary to past years, some restaurants were open during daytime hours this Ramadan. I took it as a small sign of pragmatism on the part of the government. In the past, fasting had been enforced, and restaurants serving daylight hours were fined, shuttered. Now they weren't. Progress? Maybe. So for the last piece I would work on for the Washington Post before leaving Iran for our extended break, I went to interview a guy who had an American-style diner in Tehran. It was the kind of story I loved doing. Food and eating it have always been a passion of mine, and I'd recently found ways to bring gastronomy into my coverage of Iran. But it was the incongruity of the various elements that attracted me. This sort of piece was my specialty. In the middle of our conversation about serving chili dogs and sliders during Islam's holiest month, around 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I got a frantic call from my wife. "Somebody's trying to destroy our lives," she told me. "You need to come home now." I rushed home from the east to the west of the vast capital, and when I got there, she was crying hysterically. She showed me an email she'd received written in Farsi, which I couldn't read. "Pay us 10 million tuman by tomorrow at 3 p.m., she translated, "or we'll expose you for the whore that you are." It seemed so strange. It was obviously directed at her. They were making reference to her personally. It was from an email address we didn't recognize. The amount they claimed they wanted was only about $3,000. "There are people trying to destroy us," she said. It wasn't the only strange internet activity we'd seen recently. A few days before, I'd gotten a phishing email that appeared to be from a photographer and dual Iranian and U.S. national I worked with frequently, who did a lot of freelance work for the Washington Post and had become something of a semi-official photographer for President Rouhani, traveling with him and his entourage extensively. And just the day before, an Iranian source of mine who was very close to Iran's foreign minister, Mohammad Javad Zarif, had sent me a text saying he had received an email from a Gmail account that looked like yours but wasn't yours, with a link. "Be careful." These phishing emails had started appearing just before I went to Vienna, where I'd covered the latest round of the nuclear negotiations. I'd written a piece for the Post saying that the talks hadn't come to a final agreement, but were being extended for another 6 months. Everyone knew that neither side wanted the diplomatic process to break down. I called our friend Reza, who helped us with IT matters. I thought he'd be able to figure out what was going on by checking programs or computers that I didn't know about. He came to the apartment and he looked at the activity of our Gmail accounts. Over the previous few hours, we discovered both of our accounts had been accessed from a server in Russia multiple times. "Look, this could just be people trying to get financial information from you guys," Reza said. He changed the passwords. I thought everything was fine at that point. "We should just go to the airport and leave tonight," Yegi said. "This is not something that we should be overly concerned about," I said. "Nothing's going to happen. You can go to Dubai and wait for me if you really want to, but I need to finish this Ramadan story." Around 8 or 8:30, we called two cabs, one for ourselves and one for Reza. Because gasoline is cheap in Iran, taxis are also inexpensive and readily available 24 hours a day. In every neighborhood, there are several taxi shops, so within a couple minutes, you can usually get a car. Yegi and I were headed to a surprise party for her mom's 56th birthday, a dinner at a cousin's house. We were dressed casually, me in jeans and a pink shirt, Yegi in a beautiful short blue dress I just bought for her, and wearing makeup and jewelry. The doorman called from downstairs when the taxis arrived. We took the elevator down with Reza 4 floors into the parking garage in the building's basement, where cars arrive. When the elevator door opened, there was a guy standing there with a gun pointed at me.